Good evening, Saints. Got a couple questions for you. Do you have religious freedom? Do you?
According to our government, you are.
Do you have the right to go to church? Do you have the right to take your children to church? Let me read this article for you. Anybody from the state of Maine? No? Mother, Liberty Council fight to take daughter to church. A woman ordered by the lower court judge not to expose her daughter to religion has appealed to the Maine Supreme Court. Liberty Council, a faith-based nonprofit legal group, is representing Emily Beckford in her efforts to take her daughter to church. Beckford is challenging a lower court custody order issued a year ago prohibiting her from bringing her daughter to Calvary Chapel in Portland. Beckford, who never married the father of her child, has had primary custody of the girl, with the father having visitation rights. After the girl's father found out she wanted to be baptized, he went to court and got an order preventing her mother from taking her daughter to church and reading her the Bible. Portland District Court sided with the father, and Liberty Council is now appealing what would be a precedent-setting case. Matthew Shriver, senior pastor, founder, and chairman of Liberty Council, said Calvary Chapel is not a cult. It isn't. And this custody order banning the mother from taking her child to a Christian church because of its biblical teaching regarding marriage and human sexuality violates the First Amendment. The implications of this order pose a serious threat to religious freedom. We would have never thought in America. They were never married. She didn't marry the father of the child. Well, right, and he is, you know, he's preventing his daughter from being baptized. The court says that she can't read the Bible to him, to her, and she can't take her to church. Certainly, these kind of things are a product of sometimes you will reap what you sow. And they may be circumstances there, Dan, but the point is, if this stands up in the Supreme Court, how many other mothers or fathers can go to court and prevent the basic right for religious freedom and to go to church and read the Bible? Don't know. But it's even no matter, you know, obviously, the woman has got custody of her daughter, so she's not what we would call the real bad person here. The father's not got custody. He's got partial custody and visiting rights. But it sounds like something for spite, something that obviously is satanic. All right, let's go on. I want to go on further tonight where we left off, and last week we were talking about our old behavior patterns. And I want to repeat a little bit of this, and especially to refresh your mind, but also those that weren't here last week that may be here tonight. And our old behavior pattern, and this comes from our own human nature. And this is a reaction, and it reacts, I should say, the same way over many years of our life. Now, the majority of us here are seniors, and we can see in our lives these behavior patterns that we have had in our life over and over, year after year after year. Now, and these certain behavior patterns will react to certain events, and they'll, make us become either fearful or angry, other things can make us happy and delightful and even bewilderment. All comes out of these behavior patterns that we've had throughout our entire life. And then certain temptations. Certain temptations that we'll give into our natural impulses and never even think about it. Never even think whether it's right or wrong. We just react and we just do. And before becoming a Christian, these old behavior patterns was, it became the story of our life. And nobody knows us, those that are married, nobody knows us better than our wife knows the husband, and the husband knows the wife, and especially the wife will know how the husband is going to react to any situation ahead of time. So she has the opportunity to go run and hide. Well, after we become a Christian, we begin to understand that we now need to live a different way of life. And all the sincerity and all the enthusiasm in our life that we have after we become a Christian, many times we think that, well, we need to start to live for Jesus. Now, we shouldn't fall into this trap trying to live for Jesus. Now, I know this sounds good, it sounds spiritual, and it sounds noble, but it's not scriptural. It's not part of God's plan. See, the problem within Christianity today is that Satan has many Christians struggling along every day, day after day, trying to live for Jesus, and you're never going to make it. God never asked you to, and He never said you could. But yet you go on and on and on. Now, let me ask you a question. Did you die for Jesus? Absolutely not. Ridiculous question. Then what makes us think that we can live for Jesus? You see, the one who died for us, folks, He wants to live in you, He wants to live for you, and He wants to live through you. Simple as that. But yet, many times we will proceed to try to clean up our lives. But yet the tragedy is, and it becomes increasingly difficult to improve that old behavior pattern. Because many of us, we've lived it for so many years. And when we can't do this, our failure in this only increases our guilt. It drives us to the point to where we try to improve our old behavior. We try to do better. And we try to make ourselves acceptable to God. We keep on working at this impossible task until finally we just give up. I did. And I've told you this before. It was a glorious day in my life when I just give up, thought I can't do it. He says, finally I got your attention and I never told you you could. So can you see the big mistake in all this? When we become a true Christian, we've received a new nature and we become a partaker of a divine nature. And by becoming a partaker of this divine nature, now this gives us a new source for living. This is our new source. Didn't the Word tell us that when we become a believer, that all things now become and are becoming new daily? Does that mean all things except for your life? No, that should be the number one thing that should be coming new on a daily basis, is your life. So with all this, though, what then is the answer? Well, as many things are in the Word of God and God's pattern, it could be a very simple answer. And the simple answer is we need to start a new behavior pattern. Well, how do we do this? How do we make or proceed to make this new behavior pattern? Well, the answer is to put in practice the three R's. If you've been here over the last month or so, you know that we've been looking at the basics of Christian living, the three R's, just like in education, reading, writing, and arithmetic, right? Three R's of the basic Christian living are what? Can you tell me? Don't read your notes. Go ahead, darling. What's the first one?
Realize.
What's the second one?
Relationship.
Huh? Reckoning. And the third R?
Respond.
Now, let's look at these. Let's look at the last one especially. A practical example is found in most of our lives. We consider many things in our life. We understand, we see so many things in our life. And think of a fear in your life. Think of maybe a temptation. Think of maybe some anxieties in your life, lack of faith. And all these things that you may encounter on a day-by-day basis, or at least quite frequently in your life. Now, when it comes to these things, our immediate action is to react under the old behavior pattern. This is how we usually react to these things. We reason these things out. We have all kinds of excuses. That's a big one. We have all kinds of cop-outs as to why I have to act this way. And some say, well, this is just the way I am. Period. So, we respond by being fearful. We respond by worrying. We respond by fighting temptations. And we try to handle these situations ourselves. Even though many times and time after time we have failed, we still want to continue to handle these things ourselves. Now, let's look briefly, because we're going to take these three R's and we're going to put them into a practical order. Here's where you need to listen. If you're sincere, you want help in changing your life, I'll tell you what, it works. Of course, everything in the Word of God works if we let it. But I guess that's beside the point. When I use the first R, my reaction should be totally different now that you're a believer. When you consider the first R, you must realize that in God's plan for handling this situation, I must count myself out. There's the first one is a hard one. Because our natural response is to count ourselves in, and we want to do it my way. No, if we're going to apply these three R's to our life, we must count ourselves out. Because the Word of God tells us that I'm dead and therefore I do not have to fight this particular problem. You don't have to fight it. You're dead. You're dead to that problem. You're dead to the law of sin. Now, then we go to the second R. Once we realize this, that you're dead and count yourself out, then the second R was reckoned. So I act. Here is a key word to reckoning. I act, or I count it out as I was dead to this particular thing. Now, in doing this, I bring this whole issue and myself before the risen victorious Christ that indwells in me. Take that problem. Take that fear, take that anxiety, take that sin, that temptation, or what it is that you've counted yourself out. You take it to the Lord and take yourself to the Lord with it. Now, here's a lot of people, and I said this before, well, I'm just going to give it to the Lord. Well, they give it to the Lord and they walk away. This is why I told you, the Lord don't want your stinking problems. He wants you too. Bring yourself and your problem together. Now, in doing this, either in prayer and or attitude, this is what you do. Lord Jesus, this is a problem. The fear, the sin, and dear Lord, I can't do anything about it. Or I don't have any power over it. Don't have any power about it. Lord, I can't. I'm bringing it to you, and I cannot do anything about it. I'm helpless, and I'm completely incapable of handling this situation. Now, in doing this, we need to be honest with God in this area. Admit your failures. And don't try to bluff God. Don't even try. Don't even think about it. Just come to God and tell Him the truth. You're licked. I'm beat. I can't do anything about it. Lord Jesus, this is the sin and I can do nothing about it. Now, this part I love. Folks, I'm telling you, it works. I bet you 10,000s of times in the last few years I brought something before the Lord and I said, Lord, I'm licked. I can't do nothing about it. But in that same breath, I said, Lord, but you can. I can't, but you can. I can't, but you can. So here and now, I commit my mind, my thoughts, and my power into you, into your power. I'm licked. Lord, I can't, but you can. Because the Lord never told you you could. I have faced some things, and Lord, I can't, but you can. Once we get into this kind of an attitude and these kind of thoughts, folks, you will be amazed what God will do. You will be absolutely shocked. You will begin to understand what Jesus says when He says, you cannot do nothing, 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 nothing without me. See, He never told you you could. He told you you couldn't. So why do we try in our own power to go out and live for Jesus and try to be a good Christian when God told you you couldn't? Why do we go out, we fight our anxieties, we fight our fears, we fight our sins and temptations when God says, bring it to Him. You have no power over this. I have the power and I will do it. Because I want to live in you, I want to live for you, and I want to live through you. Me, Jesus. Hey, hello, Bob, listen up. Once I learned that, you talk about turnaround in your Christian life. It will completely turn it around. Lord, I can't, but you can. Now, this is where we follow up by using the third R. Because then we should begin to yield the whole thing and ourselves to God. Yield it. Yield yourself to Him. Lord, I don't know how you'll handle it. I don't know how you're going to handle this situation, but I don't need to know. How many times have I asked God, and God says, you let me handle it, it's none of your business. I go, okay. Okay. He said, I'll do it. Do you know how much weight that takes off your shoulders? And that's in everything. In every situation in our life that we face, in every physical difficulty, we need to have this kind of an attitude. Lord, I can't, but you sure can. Not me. When we begin to understand this, and this becomes a living reality in our life, in our experience, then we can begin to understand what God has begun to tell us in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, verses 5, 6, and 7. Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, verses 5, 6, and 7. And these, when we begin to understand these three are, this will become a living reality in your life and in my life. He says in verse 5, and I'm reading from the Amplified, and I really like this. Trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart. Wow. Does that not sound just like what we just said? Giving it all to Him? Giving yourselves to Him and trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart. Don't scratch out with all your heart now. You don't come in half-minded and half-hearted to this. He says to come in with all your heart. This is a continual surrendering. And he says, and do not rely... What did we just say? Here's what the Word says, and do not rely on your own insight and your own understanding. I've learned over the years when I rely on my insight and my own understanding, man, do I mess up. How about you? I do. So you don't rely on yourself. What did we just say? Count yourself out and count Christ in. When you face an anxiety, a fear, a temptation, count yourself out and count Christ in. The Word says don't rely on yourself. Then he goes on in verse 6, he says, in all your ways know and acknowledge and recognize Him. And in this case, we're to know, to acknowledge and recognize Christ. Then I like the second part of this. I'm not sure what the King James says, but the Amplified says, and He, and He, not me. Okay, there's an H there instead of a M. Okay? So many times we want to put an M there. It's an H there. And He will make your path straight and smooth. Lord, I can't, but you can. Removing obstacles that block your way. I like the way the author put that in parentheses there. God is going to make your paths straight and smooth, and He's going to remove the obstacles that block your way. Verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord with reverent and all obedience, and turn entirely away from evil. This verse, one verse of Scripture here, sums it all up. Sums the whole thing up. It's right here in the Word. As I count myself out and count Christ in. Folks, He doesn't improve your old behavior pattern. He makes new paths for you and me to tread. You see, this is not living for Jesus. This is Jesus living for you. Jesus living for you, in you, and through you. He goes with me. He walks with me. And paths of His choosing. Dan, this is walking in the Spirit. As you've said hundreds of times. This is what walking in the Spirit is. In His Spirit. When he goes with us, he walks with us, and he walks with us in paths of his choosing, not yours, his choosing. And we need to remember that the teaching of the Word of God is that we learn to yield continuously every day, not just Sunday mornings, every day. And this continual yielding to Christ establishes our new behavior pattern. It's what we need as believers. We need a new behavior pattern. Don't rely on your old behavior pattern. Now, this doesn't mean that you become perfect in a day or even a lifetime. You know, even the Apostle Paul, and many consider him to be the greatest Christian that ever lived. But look what Paul has to say about that in Philippians in the 3rd chapter, verses 12 to 15. He says in verse 12, that's in Philippians 3, "Not that I have already obtained it," and that is the goal of being Christ-like. Paul's saying, not that I've obtained it or have already been made perfect, but I actively press on so that I may take hold of that perfection for which Christ Jesus took hold of me and made me his own. Paul, as probably the greatest Christian that ever lived, had not attained full perfection. And you aren't either. And I am not. But Paul surrendered continuously, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. A continual yielding, a continual surrender to Christ. It says in verse 13, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I've made it my own yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead." He says, "I press on towards the goal to win the heavenly prize and the upward call of God in Christ." And in verse 15, he says, "All of us who are mature," and I hope tonight you're pursuing maturity, becoming more like him day by day. He says, "All of us who are mature, pursuing spiritual perfection, should have this attitude or this mind. And if any respect you have a different attitude, that too God will make clear to you." Our attitudes, our mind, should be towards this every day. Counting yourself out and counting Christ in. As you face everyday anxieties, fears, temptations, "Lord, I can't, but you can. And this should become my new way of life." You see, Jesus never promised that it'd be easy. And I've said many times that this Christian life is not for sissies. Not at all. Now, one further word of counseling. Do not expect a sudden or an immediate transformation of your character and personality, because as you start to form this new behavior pattern, it takes time. And guess who's there? It's going to be there to try to beat you down in every step. Every step you take, guess who's going to try to beat you down? Satan. Yes, Satan is going to be there. But we're to continue every day. Continue every day. This is called growing in grace. Not growing in disgrace, but growing in grace. Problem is, so many Christians, when they don't do this, don't apply these things into their life, they grow in disgrace. But we're to grow in grace continually, day by day. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word once again. Lord, I'll always thank you for your Holy Spirit that indwells us. gives us illumination of understanding, Lord, and we thank you that your word is spelled out so clearly and so simply the ways that you want us to behave, our attitudes, the way our attitudes should be, in a way that we need to grow in grace step by step. And Lord, we thank you that you're there with us. Lord, thank you for the understanding that it's not I, but it's you. That we count ourselves out, Lord, that I can't, but you can. Thank you, Lord, for these truths from your word, Lord. Press them upon our mind that we may grow in grace, to uplift and glorify you, not ourselves. We want to bring glory to you. Thank you, Lord, once again, in Christ's name. Amen.